On October 12th, in 1958, it was a quiet Sunday morning, suddenly rocked by an explosion. The temple, which was Georgia's largest synagogue at the time, was bombed. Then Atlanta Mayor William B. Hartsfield condemned the violence.
Atlanta has always been a lighthouse of racial and religious tolerance in the South. And we are shocked and amazed that this awful thing could happen in our midst.
Thankfully, nobody was hurt in that attack, but the community was shaken, and a new play at the Alliance Theater recalls that attack. Jimmy Mays is playwright and director of The Temple Bombing, and he joins me in our studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
That's kind of an important, and I actually want to, the point that Hartsfield made there of condemning the violence was a moment, and it appears to be that's not just a moment for your play, but for the book on which the play is based, which was written by author and historian Melissa Fay Green, and she talks about, well, I guess the questions that were left in the minds of the Jewish community here.
There was this terrifying moment for the Jewish community about whether the attack would be denounced by the city's white Christian elite. It was instantly denounced by the African American elite, who was experiencing similar attacks all across the country. But would the power structure of white Atlanta take notice?
That clip comes courtesy of the Alliance Theater and Emory University. Why was there so much tension about whether or not the white Christian, especially business leaders and political leaders, would condemn the violence?
Well, like you said, it was a pivotal thing to have the mayor speak at that moment, because up until that moment, there'd really been a vacuum of leadership, not just in Atlanta, but really all across the South in response to bombings and threats against the African-American community as well as the Jewish community. And Atlanta, holding itself up as the city too busy to hate at the time, had been spared, for lack of a better word. It was considered, you know, this liberal bastion of Georgia. So as soon as it happened in Atlanta, there was a question about how the leadership would respond. And the mayor rerouted his driver to the temple that morning and spoke impromptu, that clip that you have, which is also a clip in our play, spoken by an actor, but it is text in our play. And that really was the turning point where, you know, white Christian moderates, as well as moderates across the South, heard strong leadership and changed a tide of what could have been an answer with recrimination or denial at the very worst.
Yeah, just ignoring it. Let's go back for people who've never heard about this particular attack. Let's again listen to historian Melissa J. Green, who wrote the book that inspired this play. Here she is talking about that morning.
October 12th, 1958. 50 sticks of dynamite in the middle of the night blew apart the sidewall of the temple, Atlanta's oldest and richest synagogue, which stood in pillared, domed majesty on a grassy hill above Peachtree Street.
What happened? Do we know why the synagogue was bombed, and did they catch the perpetrator?
It seems to be very clear why the synagogue was bombed. The rabbi at the time, Jacob Rothschild, was a vocal advocate for civil rights and speaking in the wake, well, he was speaking since 1946, since he took the pulpit, about civil rights, equal rights. But as soon as Brown versus the Board of Education and you know, things in 1954 really started to heat up, he became a target. I mean, he was receiving letters, he was receiving hate speech, he was had an actual encounter with one of the lead defendant, alleged perpetrator. And so it seems very clear as to why that their synagogue was targeted.
And it was often Jewish lawyers who stood up to defend defend defendants, protesters during the civil rights movement. They were a pretty crucial part of that movement. Mm-hmm. Is that why you say that people were afraid there would be a wider, that this bombing might spread because of that association between the civil rights movement and the Jewish community?
Well, I think the fear, at least as portrayed in my play, which is, you know, a very small slice of
right.
Melissa Fay Green's, you know, wonderful book, the fear, I'm focusing on the congregation itself in terms of their fears and of after effects of the bomb. And really it was that they had already been in a position where blending in with the woodwork was of utmost importance, tracing all the way back to the beginning of their congregation, including the Leo Frank lynching, which in 1915, as many people know, Leo Frank was a member of the same congregation. So since then, and with the previous rabbi, this congregation had not only experienced extreme trauma, but had then been afraid of really celebrating their Jewish heritage, of being visibly Jewish in the community. And so the fear in the wake of the bombing is not just of a repeat of past history in terms of rampant anti-Semitism, mob rule, all of these things, but that their placement in Atlanta would be deeply threatened.
You'd use non-traditional casting in this play. Actress Caitlin O'Connell is here. She plays Janice Rothschild in your production, and she obviously enjoys it.
And I love the way that it's been cast, with men and women playing men and women, African-American people playing Jewish people. That's the point of the play, is to try and get you to expand your idea of who you're connected to and who you can truly empathize with, and that we're all just people.
Obviously, that's non-traditional, because most people say if you want to cast someone as Jewish and you want to not break that fourth wall and keep that illusion of reality in there, you need to cast someone who looks believably Jewish. Why not?
Well, the story is really of not just Atlanta in the civil rights era, but I think our nation at a really crucial moment, that I think it is impossible not to hear the language of the play and hear the response of politicians and hear the threat of violence and not think about the now. As well as, I think it's very important to look, I'm focusing on a small contingent of Atlanta in the civil rights era. So it's this German Jewish population. And my way of extrapolating those messages out to greater Atlanta, into the nation, and also through eras to now, is to really play fast and loose with the casting, because we all understand, I think theater is a place where the audience's imagination is welcomed and warranted. So we understand that the text of the play existed in its historical context, but in the theater we can make leaps of imagination and leaps of association and really bring our own interpretation to it. So by acknowledging that, you know, Ralph McGill spoke these words that were extremely poetic and crucial and won the Pulitzer Prize in response to this bombing from his editorial, A Church, a School. But to have that portrayed by an African-American man, to me, those sentiments are universal and should be extrapolated outside of this one particular bombing to other acts of violence, to other feelings of insecurity, to other minorities across different eras. So that was my attempt.
Ralph McGill was the publisher of, I think it was still just the Atlanta Constitution at the time, a well-known journalist and anti-segregation advocate. This type of casting has at least been used in one other very well-known show at this point, and that would be Hamilton, which has black and brown people in all different colors playing our founding fathers. Do you see this as a change in philosophy for in theater that might grow?
I think that look, Hamilton, because of its success, I think I found very few people questioning that as a theatrical device. I think that it was celebrated and it was very easy for us to look at our founding fathers in this time, this very uncertain time, and relate the ideas of democracy, of immigration, of all of these things that we're grappling with now and then. And to me, the theater is a wonderful place for those conversations, to complicate some of the ideas of historical context and the thinking of history as this dry thing that we read about only in the books that can never repeat.
Sadly, means I have to, before we end, I have to ask you a question about current news headlines. Certainly, you probably started writing this play sometime before we saw these recent bomb threats at Jewish centers and synagogues. Vandals attacked a Jewish cemetery in Missouri, which is something Nazis used to do, in particular, was to desecrate cemeteries.
Mm-hmm. And just yesterday in Birmingham.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a huge spike in threats to the Jewish community. which sadly makes your play more relevant maybe than you would want it to be.
Yeah.
Has that changed your attitude toward the material?
It has. Yeah, I've been working on this play for about 14 months, so we were kind of in the midst of the election cycle. But certainly, certainly in light of recent events, and not just, you know, looking at the higher levels of power in our country, but really how it's trickled down to what's happening on the ground, it absolutely has made it more relevant. And it has changed the way that I curate the material, how I edit the material, how I feature the material. Again, like I said, I'm not interested in agitprop. I'm not interested in a piece of polemic theater, but really to put forth viewpoints in order to spark conversation. So it has changed how I, you know, feature, for instance, the lead defendant, the perpetrator in the case, George Bright, who I have lots of interview material to work with. It's changed what I put forth and how I kind of curate, orchestrate conversations, but dealing with specific issues of the now.
We only have about a minute left, but I have to ask, do you think the play is a hopeful story? I mean, we don't seem to learn all that much from history often, but is the play a hopeful story or a tragic one?
It's absolutely a hopeful story. I should also mention it's a very funny story at times, too. Despite its title, The Temple Bombing, there's a lot of levity in it. But yes, no, it's a hopeful story. I think those who know the event know that that everyone in Atlanta rallied with the temple at the time, said, no, not in our city. And the outpouring of support and the alliance between the African-American community and the Jewish community is something that is so strong to this day and in the DNA of churches across the city, but particularly the temple and the way that they've moved forward in affecting social change and making that truly a part of their DNA is absolutely a hopeful message and something that I think we can learn a lot from.
The Temple Bombing premieres Wednesday night at 7:30 at the Alliance Theater. It runs through March 12th. You'll get more details at gpbnews.org. I've been speaking with Jimmy Mays, who is playwright and director of The Temple Bombing. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.